Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth, and with me today is my special guest, Peter Tsuyama. Welcome, Peter.
Hi, Wayne. Good morning.
It's great to have you on. Peter is an experienced financial services executive. He's got over 28 years of financial and employee benefits experience. His prior experience includes regional vice president at American Express Retirement Services, and he's currently a business and personal financial advisor. He's got the designation of CRPS and CRPC. What's CRPS? Certified Retirement Planning Specialist.
There you go. You have it.
Just kind of figured that one out. And he's been quoted and he's contributed in articles in CFO Magazine, HR Magazine, Pension and Benefits, and Employee Benefit News. And those are pretty important publications. And he's responsible for a number of local, regional, and national companies' retirement plans, including several Fortune 500 companies. His offices are located here in Fairfax, Virginia. So, Peter, what I'd like to do with all that experience, particularly in retirement plans, I'd like you to share with listeners what you do as a financial consultant for your clients today.
Sure. The today working, I think first, Wayne, is, you know, we are focused on closely held businesses.
Okay.
With approximately 50 to 500 employees. And one of the first things that we do when we work with our clients is to come in and actually establish a benchmark review for their employee benefits for their retirement plan.
Okay. And then after that, do you deal only in qualified plans? Do you deal in any other types of plans?
Absolutely. Today, especially in this marketplace, non-qualified plans are certainly something we do a lot of work.
Give me an example of some of the non-qualified plans that you set up for your business leaders around town.
Sure. Well, you know, one of the easiest and simplest non-qualified plan to establish is what we call a mirror 401k plan.
Okay. What does that mean?
Well, as you might suspect, it oftentimes is going to mirror some of the investments that are currently offered in the 401k plan for all of the employees. One important element of a non-qualified plan is to recognize that that's always an asset of the company,
right,
and not the individual.
Meaning that if you put aside money for mm-hmm. the benefit of one of these employees, it's not going to be taxed as long as it's subject to the claims of the company's general creditors, right?
Exactly.
Now, I know that you and I have worked on some clients together, and one of the things that I've seen is that you also get involved in succession planning. Tell me about some of the stuff you do in that realm, in that field.
Well, Wayne, as you know, many of the closely held businesses that we work with, the leaders, the owners, the senior managers are wearing a number of hats, and they haven't thought through the succession plan. What do you want to do at the end of your career? Where do you want your company to go?
So what would you say your role is with these business leaders? I mean, I know you're a consultant, but what else? I mean, what do you do? How do you fulfill their needs?
Great question. Part of it's coach. Part of it's just simply staying in front of these folks, trying to get them to really take action and implement what they need to do.
And you're a confidant too, right? I mean, they rely on you. They confide in you some of their deepest and darkest secrets or some of the most important things to them individually. And you get to know them pretty well.
Absolutely. We would count many of our business clients as personal friends, and indeed it is a very strong relationship.
So would you say that you're the squeaky wheel?
Well, the squeaky wheel is just simply staying in front of the people, saying that, you know, it's been 2 months since we went through this particular exercise. Now we need to implement something. So, yes, absolutely. We're the squeaky wheel.
And what else do you do with regard to the companies and the business leaders that you're involved with?
Well, certainly the succession planning, looking at the individual's personal financial planning is one aspect. Two, then segueing over to the business and the retirement benefits, we go through a very comprehensive benchmark survey with them to make sure that they're aware of what they have and how it stacks up in the local marketplace.
Now, I've heard from other advisors that the whole area of dealing with retirement plans has become really commoditized. I mean, everybody's offering it. You know, you can go to your bank and get a retirement plan package. You can go to Fidelity. You can go a lot of different places. How do you factor in all of that competitive pressure in doing what you do today, because I still find that having somebody with your expertise is a really valuable tool for the client.
Absolutely. I think the hat that we wear is consultant. That we're here to look at the marketplace. We certainly have to be aware of ERISA and Department of Labor regulations. And right now, for instance, the pending regulation of 408B, which is fee disclosure, not only at the plan level, but it's,
I saw that. Tell us about a little bit more about that. What is the new regulation requiring?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is great. This is a very positive thing for the industry. In essence, it is transparency of fees of what the plan is paying and then also what the participant is. And unfortunately, in the small end of the market, in that 50 to 500 employees, we still see a lot of abuse, what we think are fees that are out of line and services.
What would be fees that are out of line versus fees that are in line?
Well, oftentimes it can be just simply the cost of the investments. That's one area that you have to take a look at. The administrative costs today, Wayne, should be fairly tight. And by that, I mean they should be reasonable for the services provided.
Okay. Yeah. In terms of a percentage of assets under management, the value of the assets, is there any way to benchmark what a good fee is versus a bad fee? Mm. You know, if you know that the advisor is charging you 1%, but then on top of that, there are mutual fund fees and other fees loaded in there. How do we really get transparency in terms of what we're paying to our advisors? How do we really know what we're paying?
You have to do a complete analysis of all the costs. So whether it's the advisor or the broker fee, you have to take a look at the mutual fund fees or whatever investment vehicles are being offered. You have to look at the administrative and any of the employee education costs. And then you are able to establish your total cost and then be able to look at how many employees do I have participating, and you can come down to a cost
per employee.
Exactly.
Or per participant, because not everybody always participates, right?
Exactly.
How did you get into this line of work? I mean, you've been doing it for 27, 28 years. So.
Yeah, a friend of mine, actually from school, had joined at that time what was known as IDS, which was being acquired in 1984.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
By American Express. And at that time, I was working as an executive that did a lot of business with American Express. I made the transition over as a financial advisor and very quickly, through no grand scheme, started working with businesses. And I just loved that. I went on, I was promoted to the regional vice president for the American Express Retirement Services Group. And ran really the East Coast, Mid-Atlantic, and Southeast region for a number of years.
Now, do you have your own practice, your own business?
We do, yeah.
What's it called?
Yeah, well, it's really, we are in essence, a franchisee of Ameriprise, and we are an independent franchisee. So you could say it's Tsuyama and Associates.
And who are your clients? You mentioned, you know, clients, companies between 50 and 500 employees. I mean, if they have less than 50, is it somebody that you'd be willing to take? What is the best client for you, and who are you looking to service in this marketplace?
Well, we've used the number of 50 as just simply saying, you know, that most of the time our experience says that these people are starting to go into some level of growth. They have a little bit of pain post 2008, and they're ready to look at either, in light of 408B, look at their fee structure. Are they getting the best services possible, not only for their employees, but for themselves? So to answer your question on size, oftentimes we're simply looking for that commitment of a client to have a partnership based on a consultative relationship.
Okay. Now, you know, I've been doing this show on this channel as well as on other channels for 4.5 years, and I've interviewed probably close to 200 people as special guests, many of them financial advisors, and they always have something to say as to what makes them unique. What makes your practice unique as compared with other financial advisors, with other business advisors in the area?
Our approach and our model is built on, Wayne, what I call the large market approach from a consulting basis.
Okay.
We are simply there to act as a consultant to review and provide a benchmark for our clients to understand where do we go. And as you mentioned earlier in the show, there are a number of providers and vendors out there. We think that that is not necessarily secondary, but it's less important than understanding not only what you have today, but where are you going as a company?
Okay. Now, benchmarking just the retirement side of it, do you do anything other than the retirement benefits with these companies?
Yes, and that's a unique service that we offer to our clients is that we will benchmark not only the company retirement plans, but we'll also look at that as it pertains to the business owner and the leadership team, and in essence, create some level of benchmarking for their own personal planning.
Now, most companies start out with a 401k plan, which is an election to defer a portion of your salary. Mm-hmm. In today's environment, are you seeing most companies providing a matching benefit for those who are electing to defer? Are you seeing a lot of, particularly in the government contracts, companies that are operating around the area, the technology companies, are they providing a matching 401k benefit as part of their package of benefits that they're providing to employees?
Most of our clients are providing some level of not only match, but also profit sharing. We're a big believer in profit sharing. If you're a solid company, that indeed having everybody understand their contribution to a company and how it impacts the growth of the company and the financial success. So most clients are providing some level of match. Now, we did have some issues, as you know, after 2008. People tightened up. There were many, frankly, national companies that eliminated the match, but most of them have come back if they suspended it.
Because it's a valuable benefit for a lot of employees who are looking to differentiate one job offer from another job offer. I know that you mentioned that you do some work in the non-qualified plan area, which might be a deferred compensation arrangement or something along those lines. How many of your clients are you seeing use non-qualified plans, and for whom are they using them? Are they using them for the rank and file employees? Are they using them for mid-level executives, or just the upper tier?
Typically the upper tier. You're looking at what we call the highly compensated employee. I think in this marketplace, Wayne, it's simply getting comfortable with what a non-qualified plan is, how it can help your overall compensation package when you go out looking for seasoned managers to come over and join your company. So we think it contributes to the recruiting efforts of a company. So certainly attract and retain.
So do you help the executives basically design the retirement packages that they're providing to the employees when they hit the 50-100 employee level?
Absolutely.
And are you seeing any specific trends developing in the qualified plan area, particularly in the area of 401ks, other than the 408b requirement that they have to now start disclosing the fee arrangements? Mm-hmm. Are you seeing anything new or different that you can let the listeners be aware of, and that's one of the reasons why they're going to call you tomorrow?
Sure. There you go. Relatively new addition over the last couple of years has been the introduction of annuities into 401k plans. And the idea of, as you know, we've gone away from a defined benefit pension environment to
right.
a defined contribution 401k environment. There is some concern, especially after 2008, having enough money to live your entire life and have some income stream. So annuities are a new investment option just over the last couple of years.
Well, that's good to know. So Peter Tsuyama, what has contributed to your success in the minute that we've got left?
First of all, Wayne, you know, you have to love what you do. You have to really enjoy the people that you work with, not only in your practice, but also your clients. You have to work very hard. You have to operate with a sense of urgency and just simply have a good vision of what you want to do to help your clients.
And thank you for being a special guest. If people want to get in touch with you, how do they get in touch with you?
Sure. Well, one of the easiest ways is just simply call 703-919-8184. or our email, or my email is peter.b.suyama, S-U-Y-A-M-A, at ampf.com.
Thanks for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for listening. Join us next week for another special topic and special guest. Have a great week.